Hi, everyone. So, as Jose mentioned, I'll be talking to you today about retention and care among YMSM and DC. And I'll get through my disclosures first. So the findings and conclusions in this presentation are those of the authors and not the views of the CDC necessarily. And I have no financial disclosures. All right, so let's talk a little bit about background. So as we all know, men who have sex with men are disproportionately affected by HIV and AIDS. And in 2011, about 78% of all diagnosed HIV infections among adults and adolescent males were attributed to male-to-male sexual contact. Then, young men who have sex with men are a particular subgroup of interest. And in that same year, 13 to 24-year-old males accounted for 21% of diagnosed HIV infections, 90% of which were attributed to male-to-male contact. Now, this is the important slide right here, and that you may have already seen, in fact, in other presentations. From 2008 to 2011, MSM 13 to 24 had the greatest percentage increase of 26% in diagnosis of HIV infection and exceeded the decreasing number of diagnoses among those aged 35 to 44. Additionally, recent data suggests that young MSM are less likely to know that they are HIV infected. So, among young MSM of color are at highest risk. And in 2011, Black and Hispanic YMSM accounted for 78% of diagnoses. So that's sort of the national picture, and these health disparities are also present in the District of Columbia, where 81% of YMSM 13 to 29 living with HIV infection from 2005 into 2009 were Hispanic and Latino. So as all of us know, in July of 2010, the White House released NHS, the National HIV/AIDS Strategy for the United States, and sort of tasked all of us with reaching these goals of reducing the number of people who become HIV infected, increasing access to care, and improved health outcomes for people living with HIV, and eventually reducing those health disparities. And in order to reach these goals, it's really important that we're able to engage young MSM in each of the stages of the continuum of care. And as some of you may know, we now say continuum, not cascade, because cascade sort of assumes only one direction, whereas continuum allows for the fact that you may be retaining care 1 year and then move back and then move forward again. So, the bar graph on the right shows how in DC in 2011, 82% of MSM were linked to care. However, only 58% were retained. And as I heard a colleague say yesterday, you can't really use treatment as prevention among folks who are not in care. So our study aimed to characterize the correlates of retention and care, defined as two visits, 3 months apart, within 12 months of diagnosis, in order to strengthen local HIV care efforts in DC and help reduce health disparities. So what did we do? We analyzed data from DC's HIV surveillance system for YMSM ages 13 to 29. And we combined those data with data from the ACS, from the American Community Survey by Census Tract. And we did frequencies and prevalence ratios and logistic regressions to try to understand some of the relationships between our variables of interest in retention and care. For our data analysis, we ran full adjusted models with backward elimination. So what did we find? We found that from 2005 to 2009, according to the surveillance data, there were 575 young MSM living with HIV infection in DC, 72% of which were Black, 19% white, and 9% Latino. Now, so 465 young MSM were Black and Hispanic MSM, but only 406 of those had census tract data available. So that constituted our sample. So within our sample, the largest percentage of men, 48%, were between 19 and 24, followed by men between 25 and 29, who made up about 43% of the group, and finally, men 13 to 18, who represented the smallest subset of 9%. So in terms of demographics, we found that about 15% lived in census tracts where more than 20% of the population were living below the poverty line. And in terms of education, 43.6% lived in census tracts where more than 20% of the population had a high school diploma or a GED. So in terms of health outcomes, we found that about 13% had a concurrent diagnosis of HIV and AIDS at the same time. And about 65% had not progressed to AIDS. Out of those that had progressed, approximately 21% had done so within 12 months of diagnosis, signaling that they were a late tester. And 10% progressed to AIDS after 12 months of diagnosis. And a great majority had been linked to care, if you look at that 90% figure. However, when you break it down a little bit, you only see about half, 54%, had been linked to care within fewer than 3 months, which is, you know, the linkage measure that you have in the NHS. So in terms of retention in care, 54% were retained in care, again, defined as 2 visits, 3 months apart, within 12 months of diagnosis. And a little over a third had ever been virally suppressed. And 37% lived in census tracts where there were HIV services available. So that's what that HIV services variable is. So let's take a look at some of the bivariate results. So we found that 25 to 29-year-olds were about 34% less likely than 13 to 18-year-olds to be retained in care. And late testers, or men who had progressed from HIV to AIDS within 12 months of diagnosis, were 1.3 times as likely, in comparison to non-progressors, to have been retained in care. Non-late testers who had progressed from HIV to AIDS were 1.4 times as likely to have been retained in care. And men who had ever been virally suppressed were 1.2 times as those who had not been virally suppressed to be retained in care. Contrary to what we expected to find, the sociodemographic variables from the ACS did not emerge significant. So that's ward of residence at diagnosis, poverty level, education level, and HIV services in census tracts. So in multivariate analyses, we found that age was the only variable that remained significant. And there we saw, again, 19 to 24-year-olds were significantly less likely than 13 to 18-year-olds to have been retained in care, and 25 to 29-year-olds were significantly less likely than 13 to 18-year-olds to have been retained in care. So in summary, out of 406 Black and Hispanic Latino YMSM in D.C. from 2006 to 2009 who had census tract data available, 90% had been linked to care, about half within that target 3 months of diagnosis, and 54% were retained. And note that this is retained among all diagnosed, not among those linked, which is the new HRSA definition that we're working with. And 36% had been virally suppressed. So the NHS goals for 2015 in DC are to achieve 85% linkage, 80% retention, and 35% viral suppression among this population. So, you know, work to do for sure, but it's clear that their efforts are also going well and that they're making some progress there. So Black and Latino YMSM were more likely to be retained in care if they had progressed to AIDS. And it's likely that what was driving this was the fact that they were experiencing symptoms. So it's likely that if a young man was going to their healthcare provider with particular symptoms, then that healthcare provider was probably a lot more aggressive in getting them into care, and therefore they were more likely to be retained. Additionally, YMSM were more likely to be retained if they had ever been virally suppressed. And that sounds a little funny, sounds kind of backwards just because of the way that the analyses were run, but that's always good, right, when we see that if you have better health outcomes when you're retained. So that's what we want to see, and you know, we hope to get folks in that direction. We also saw that YMSM in older age groups were less likely to be retained than the 13 to 18 group, and that's likely because they are moving from youth-focused services into adult services, and it's possible that they are experiencing a gap in care as they go from being on their parents' healthcare plans to then moving into adulthood and then, you know, looking for their own healthcare, seeking for a job, etc. And this is consistent with previous literature that finds, similarly, that younger men are more likely to be retained. So in terms of this sociodemographic variables not emerging as significant, it's possible that this is due to widespread gentrification in DC that is, you know, moving lower income communities out of the actual district. So in terms of limitations, we, of course, there's limited generalizability, given that this is a local level analysis and only meant to be applied to this particular group. Additionally, these are surveillance data, and it's meant to give us a snapshot and, you know, a sense of, okay, here are the correlates. These are the clinical and demographic correlates. It doesn't really get at mechanisms. So there's a little bit of data out there to tell us that some of the additional things that may be linked to retention include substance abuse, depression, and, you know, other psychosocial variables. So it's important that increased work be focused in that direction as well, given that, you know, this is not the focus of this type of work. Additionally, because this is, you know, geography-specific data, then you can't really capture whether you're overestimating who's not in care, because folks may move and get care elsewhere. And, you know, the little take-homes from this, essentially, are that we really need to make sure that we're not losing men to care as they age, especially if they're feeling well and maybe less likely to be retained. Additionally, when you look at these results in light of the exit literature, you see that there are some program-level things that providers can do to keep young men in care. Things like flexible scheduling, transportation, and just linking them to providers. And like I mentioned, it's really important that we continue to understand those mechanisms that underlie these health disparities. So in conclusion, retention in HIV care is suboptimal for YMSM of color, and it's really important that we continue to work for this group in trying to understand these health disparities and intervening in ways that make sense. And thank you so much for your time.